You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's dance-off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilbert.
I'm Adam Bishop.
I'm Chris Ellis.
I'm the Hey Kids Comics Desperado.
I'm Batman.
Who's a villain in Captain Canuck?
What does he do?
Taking our maple syrup, eh?
I'm gonna chuck my hockey puck in my beer bottle at you. Take off, you hoser.
Gwenpool. I mean, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff. This is gonna be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
When you're trying to come up with an offensive movie that you want to reclaim, it's time to segue into the next porn comic segment, Adam.
How can you not have seen Airplane? What are you guys, young?
I talked to him directly, so I got a mass order. So I have like a good 5-inch stack inside my comic box.
Right on.
That's below average.
Halt! Smash!
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Hey Kids Comics. It's Friday on the Trent Radio. This is Chris Gilpin.
And Chris Ellis.
Martin Bruda.
Dan Collins. How are you?
Doing all right.
Doing well. Yeah,
I feel like the COVID monotony and stresses is being a little bit much for everybody this week. I haven't met anyone who's in a good mood this week.
You know what? I'm seeing the same thing. People are starting to get a little touchy, a little nippy, but it happens, right? Things going on, stuck inside. That's crazy.
Yeah,
there is some rays of sunshine. The comic book store in Peterborough opened up.
Yes.
Well, I mean, he's always been open for home deliveries and stuff, but he's actually getting new deliveries of new comics now. So
yeah, that's exciting. He sent me a message and said he got some new stuff in. So
what exactly is he getting in? Like, are these books that were due out 3 months ago, or
no? Everything from Diamond was canceled. It's all gone.
Okay, so we're starting fresh.
You're starting fresh. He kind of went through most people's pull lists and stuff and looked at what he can reorder from Diamond, what he can reorder from, it's kind of funny because everyone says that Lunar is only in the West Coast and the other companies all in the East Coast. And yet, Ontario is covered by Lunar. So, he went through Lunar and ordered stuff from him that's not available from Diamond, you know, just try to keep things up. And
weird.
But even there, you know, I'm missing an issue of Flash.
Yeah.
Oh, you canceled all Flash stuff.
I did, and I signed back up.
Just checking.
It was a mental lapse on my part, and I guess the decision to drop the Flash lasted less than 3 months because the issues that I stopped getting were sitting on the pickup shelf before COVID hit, so I ended up just grabbing them off the shelf. And
oh, so you ended up getting them all anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
So no holes to fill.
He had 752. Missing 753, and I think he had 754 and 755. I don't know, I'd have to look. It's in my pile that I forgot to bring over to my desk.
So it's like 753. Is it like a $20 issue now, or is it you just didn't have one?
Yeah, I mean, that's the weird thing. Like, are we gonna have some weird print runs? And you know, DC literally reprinted some of their books in order to get them through the two new distributors. I don't know if they told Diamond to pulp the rest, or is Diamond pushing those out, or what the case may be. So it's possible there's going to be some really funk and grooving weird print variants or something coming out of this.
Well, what I couldn't figure out in the last few months is that Newsarama kept putting reviews of comic books out, which I found strange. Maybe they got advanced copies?
Well, I imagine. I'm pretty sure even Martin was still getting copies sent to him of stuff to, like, review.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's actually reviewed them, yeah. But he had mentioned that he did get some.
Oh, okay. I'm like, where are you guys getting these comics from?
No kidding. I don't know. I'm so far behind on my read list. I was like, you know what? This COVID thing's going to be great. I'm going to have all this time to, like, do reading and get caught up. And I read, like, I don't know, maybe 20 or 30 issues, and I haven't gone back to them at all. So I still have my short box just jammed with books, and I'm like, oh, I gotta start reading them, but especially before I start buying some more.
Well, I wanted to get into Guardian and get my stuff because I hadn't gotten it in not just the last 3 months, but probably 3 months before that.
Oh, okay.
6 issues of Batman and 3 detectives and an annual detective annual sitting there, so I wanted to get that cleared before we started up again.
Yeah, I can see that.
I made some pretty decent progress on my to-read pile, but there's still at least a short box of stuff to read.
Yeah.
Like, was it A Walk Through Hell? Walk Through Hell. I know I read the first issue and then just didn't read anymore.
That is a trippy, trippy series. I actually managed to... That's one of the few that I actually finished during this COVID thing, was that, so...
I have those to look forward to and finish those off. Artists, what is it? Artists, Writers, and Artisans?
Yeah.
Year Zero came out.
Okay.
I picked that up. It's their zombie book, right?
Oh, yeah.
The thing is, though, is like right in the comic itself, there's a little editorial page, and the guy who is writing this, Benjamin Percy, he basically stated, you know, you've got Dawn of the Dead, you got Night of the Living Dead, you got Walking Dead, all this stuff, and they all kind of focused on the people.
Yeah.
You know, like they followed around a band of people affected by this zombie thing. They're taking a holistic approach, and they want to focus on the whole situation, which I found made the book really confusing. Like it's like they're following 5 different people in 5 different situations and bouncing back and forth. And I don't know.
That sounds more like a trade back format, right?
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean... It didn't jump out at me as much as some of the other AWA books, you know? Some of the other AWA books I read, like...
Well, they can't all be winners.
Yeah, you know, like Resistance was really good. Hotel was really good. Archangel 8, oh my goodness, I loved that one.
Archangel 8.
I loved that one. So I don't know, first issue, maybe I got to get some cobwebs out of my head, too, in order to read it well. But that came out.
What was that one book that came out before all this? Huge hype. And it was America, that they built the wall around America. And
Undiscovered Country.
Undiscovered. There, have you catched it reading that?
And I ditched that one. I dropped it because it was... Ugh.
Yeah, I didn't like the first issue.
Yeah, I just didn't... I mean, it easily the most overhyped book in terms of what it actually delivered. Of last year, of this year, of last year, of pre-COVID.
Wasn't it one of the, it was also one of those books that were issue one, like, hit, like, $20.
Oh, yeah, and there was, like...
Was it not?
Like, there was, like, 600 different variants, and... Yeah.
I'm starting to get varianted out, you know that?
Well, I read somewhere there that Marvel had canceled up to 50 variants of some of their books that were coming out in the next little while.
Yeah, I saw that.
It sounds like Empire is being reduced as well. It's not going to be as many issues as they originally said it was going to be. And, of course, we've got all these books that are turning into digital only. Mm-hmm. Whether they're going to come out as single issues or not, probably not. Probably just as trades later.
Yeah.
So it does seem like everybody's contracting the lineup a little bit. But, I mean, which one of us thinks that's a bad idea?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's just too many books.
Fan likes digital, right?
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with digital.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mean the fact that they're going to digital. I mean more of the fact that they're cleaning up some of the extra books that we have out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, they definitely need to do that.
Yeah, getting rid of some of these smaller titles and stuff like this, because it was a bit nuts.
Yeah.
Well, do they need 6 Spider-Man titles? Like, do they really need 6 Spider-Man titles? Or 12 Batman titles. Like, it's probably time to start streamlining some of this stuff. They would probably have more readership if they, instead of having like 20 or say even 5 Batman books, like realistically, like 5 Batman books, if they had 2, they could split the 100,000, you know, sales they have between all of those down to the two books, right? That would make way more sense, and they'd make way more profit than having like so many books that people just aren't buying.
Well, it's like the X-Men books. Like they've got like multiple teams with the same guys on the different teams, and it's just like when I saw the X-Factor number one, that I think it had the original five X-Factor members or something in it. Yet they're all on different other issues too, and it's just like, what are you guys doing?
And how did Wolverine get on every team?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, jeez.
That's the kind of stuff I'd like to see them, you know, tidy up and maybe streamline a bit, and get back to maybe reduce the books, but maybe put out a higher quality product. Like instead of having, you know, 150 titles or whatever they put out per month, like do 50 titles a month and do 50 titles well.
Yeah.
You know, have good artists and have good stories, and, you know, rather than saturate the market, like put out a good product.
Yeah. And have it come out on time. No
delays.
That's
the big one. Take the crayons away.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see for sure. I mean, what were they up to? Like 130 or 140 different issues every month there in 2019?
Yeah, sounds about right.
I mean, it was just crazy.
And then depending on like what the mini series or whatever maxi series is hitting, I mean, you could have to buy 10 of those or 15 of those titles that you normally wouldn't buy just to get the story.
Yeah.
And then you're buying like random crap and you're like, what am I doing with this?
Yeah, it's like that Batman crossover that's coming up.
Oh, the Joker one?
Yeah. I'm getting Batman the Detective, and I asked Sean for the one shot. But hopefully I don't want to buy any of the other ones. So hopefully I don't have
to. I was reading a little bit about that, and it does seem like the major part of the story is just going to be in Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And the tie-ins are just going to be kind of like, oh, look, here's Nightwing's contribution. Here's Batgirl's contribution. But they're not going to be as ingrained.
Yeah.
But still, like if you're reading Nightwing and you're right in the middle of a storyline and an issue gets interrupted because of this stupid crossover, and you don't have any interest in the crossover, that's annoying.
Yeah, well, now you're paying over $5 a book just to have the run. You know, you didn't read it, or if you did, you're like, I don't know what's going on. And then, so then it's just, it hits your box and it stays there forever. But at least now you have the full run.
There's been a couple occasions where, you know, the crossover is pretty good as a standalone book, and you don't really need to know everything that's going on in order for it to go. But that's pretty rare and rare. I mean, it doesn't happen that often. Usually it's just a confusing cluster chuck and you don't know what the heck happened.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds me of, I was just reading Booster Gold. I finished the original Booster Gold run 1 through 25 of reading them. And poor, poor, poor Booster's final issue, issue number 25, is a crossover for the Millennium series that was running at the time.
Oh.
And makes no sense in the continuity. I haven't read Millennium, so I had no idea what was going on. And, like, it was just the worst possible way to end the series. I was utterly disappointed in the end of the series. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But how was the issue before that? Did it feel like any kind of, climax to the series?
Like, a lot, the Booster Gold ones back then, like, it was way more episodic, you know, like, not big arcs. Yeah. So, each issue was a complete-ish story. So, it was okay, you know? But then, yeah, just out of nowhere, like, manhunters are attacking people and pretending to be people. And I'm like, what is happening here? And the characters that you have known the whole series turn out to be manhunters and whatever.
Yeah. Bit of a gong show.
Yeah.
Like, I read Deadpool. And then when Deadpool did the same thing, they crossed over with Civil War. So, like, and it's not as episodic. Like, literally, it's like one storyline. And then you hit those Civil War books and it's completely, you're like, what the heck happened to my story? And then, you know, six issues later, it goes back like nothing ever happened. So what was the point? Like, why bother do the, you know, screwing up the six issues just for something that didn't even change the character in any way.
And in a perfect world, they could say, like, okay, look, we're going to launch all these crossover events in this month. Make sure your storylines are all wrapped up. However, due to book delays, you know, it still doesn't mean that those books are going to be finished on time. So,
yeah. Well, what was it? The Ironheart.
Ironheart, yeah.
She came out. She was supposed to come out after Tony died or whatever, right? But because of delays that she came out, and then like 6 months later, Tony died and she took over or something, wasn't it? Isn't that how that worked a while back?
Yeah, I think so. They did a oopsie poopsie.
Yeah, that wasn't the first one.
No.
Probably won't be the last.
Yeah, just a little bit bonkers. The Plunge came out this week. That's a Joe Hill House comic.
Oh, nice.
You were asking about those, Chris?
Yeah.
This number 3 came out this week.
Oh, perfect.
I think I have 1 and 2, maybe?
See, that becomes the problem, right? Like, which ones do I have? And
yeah.
And where the heck do you get it now if you don't have it?
I'm positive I got issue 1, but I don't know if issue 2 showed up. Like, it's extremely possible. It's going to be a little, like I said, tricky to track down some of these missing issues, but who knows?
Yeah.
I was reading Oblivion Song, and I thought it was done, so I stopped. It wasn't on a pull list. I was just grabbing it when I saw it. But apparently it's not done. It's still going. So.
Yeah, no, there. I saw an issue there in Sean's dead file pile.
Yeah, I got to see which issues I have, because I did grab a few when they had their sale. So, but issue 25 has a special guest artist on the cover, so won't say who it is. But
is his initials AA?
They are. I really want that one.
Yeah, Adam and mine. Money Shot is like that. I just was picking it up whenever I saw it. I didn't have it on a pull, and I have no idea. I have no clue. Like, do I have issue 6? Do I have issue 7? Do I have issue 5?
I was reading that Die, 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 which I really enjoyed.
It's a very good series. I like that one.
Was it only like 5 issues, or is it still going? I don't know.
I thought it was done. I thought they ended it at like 6 issues. But no, it's up to 9 now, and it looks like it's an ongoing series.
Oh, really?
And it's very good. It's still good.
I'll have to go on. I don't really want to go to eBay, but I don't know. Maybe comic book CBA, maybe they have some of the back issues or something.
I Sean ordered them for me, so he might be able to get you some.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Because not all the DC titles were returning right away, I thought I'd put in an order to get Sean to get some Lunar books in, so I get some money coming into the store and stuff like this. And it turned out to not be that easy because Diamond just ended up firing back up again. But I was going to pick up Suicide Squad. I was going to pick up Hawkman, some of these other issues that I wasn't getting. And apparently Suicide Squad 5 is coming out next week, and I have issue 1, so I asked Sean to look for 2, 3, 4, and apparently 3 is not listed in the catalog. So I don't know if it just sold out or this is going to be one of those weird ones, but he can't find 3.
Die, Die, Die is up to 9, Chris.
Wow.
And I won't spoil it for you, but it gets good. It gets good.
Well, I know the triplets, the guys are no longer triplets, but because some of them have passed on.
It's a comic book.
Yeah, that's right. What was that comic with the Ark? Noah's Ark.
Dark Ark.
Dark Ark.
Dark Ark.
That just popped into my brain. Dark Ark. There's a second run of that, right? I read the first one. I really enjoyed it.
But the third one was after they landed ashore. Yeah. Both arcs ended up landing ashore.
Yeah.
And I don't recall how far they got into that, but that was a good series. Who was that? That was Aftershock?
Yeah.
I think so.
I think I got the first 4 issues.
Interesting read.
Yeah, I didn't get that one.
Yeah, After the Flood is what the third one's called.
Yeah. How many issues were in the second run? Six?
I'm just looking here. Yeah, the second series is called After the Flood, and on sale October 2019, issue one.
So Chris has got some back issues.
You know what they did? It's not that there's three. You know how they have that big pause in between?
Mm-hmm.
So the first, whatever it is, 1 to 6 issues of Dark Ark came out, and then there was a big pause. What do we got here? Dark Ark 5 came out January 2018. Dark Ark 6 came out May 2018. So there was a few months there pause. And that series ended, was a trade, it's Dark Ark 15. Mm-hmm. So it went from 1 to 15 in the first series. And then the second series is called After the Flood.
Okay, that's strange.
I think I have 1 through 6 or 1 through 5.
Yeah, I read 6. I thought that was the total first arc, but we'll have to look into it and see.
Looks like there was a 1 month pause between issue 10 and issue 11. So issue 10 came out in September of 2018. Issue 11 came out November 2018.
Sounds like a road trip is due.
Oh yeah, I can't wait, to be honest with you. So itchy to go digging through back issue bins and get out of this house and hit the $2 bins and buy as much as I can.
Hit the $2 bins and buy all the things that have gone up in price since they were $2 before.
Yeah, speculators.
No golf.
I'm not very good at that game. I don't play it. I'm a failure. I keep everything. Not much of a speculator.
We know that Spider-Man 2099 I showed you guys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It came in a toy. Like I came across this one, Captain America 109. But this is another one that was apparently in a toy. Unfortunately, it's not a 9.8, that's for sure.
Well, what'd you do to it?
Wow, this is how I got it. I haven't even opened it, the old plastic yet. Actually, I think it's in its original packaging. Because it says, attention, don't eat this bag, it could kill you, and all that.
Sounds about right.
Maybe it is, maybe it's worth $1,100. Probably not.
Well, the other one was signed, though, right? Who was it signed by?
Peter David.
Peter David, yeah. He was a great author. I like Peter David.
I mean, it's a $2 comic with a $40 signature.
And speaking of speculation, like everybody's, I'm seeing lots of people saying Spider-Man 2099 is going to be the next big thing or whatever, you know?
Oh, is that what's going on?
That's what I've seen, but everybody's trying to push some Spider-Man something. Everybody's got their Spider-Man thing they're trying to push.
Yeah, that would, because everybody's trying to get rid of. I saw the, which one's the hologram issue that has the first Spider-Man 2099? Everybody on the auction site's got one up for sale right now.
And they're all 9.2s, 9.4s.
Yeah. They're all mint condition. It's awesome. No crap out there. None.
On eBay, guys, on eBay, I saw somebody had a Raw comic that they said 9.9. And I just shook my head and I was like, you're telling me that your Raw comic is a 9.9. I will never buy from you.
Yeah, no.
That's a brave, brave assessment.
At least go 9.8. Come on.
I saw one of those Batman Dams and it was graded. It was like 9.4. And I'm like, oh, buddy, you lost out there. So you should come back as 10s.
Yeah, but there's a lot of 9.9s on that one.
He was trying to sell his 9.4 and going, oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Missed. You must have stepped on it or something.
So they're listing that Amazing Spider-Man that you're talking about. What number is it? 365, I think. Is it 365? Yeah, 365.
Yeah, I think so.
They're saying then that's the first, not the first full appearance.
Oh, geez.
Oh, is it just the first, a cameo now?
Yeah. No, it says a preview. First preview appearance.
Doesn't the label say?
Is it just a poster inside?
Have any of you guys actually read that one?
Oh, I think I read it.
I'm sure I read it back in the day.
Yeah, way back in the day.
I know the CGC label definitely says first appearance of Spider-Man 2099 for that issue.
As long as it's not the first issue of the series. Because that would be frustrating.
Why is it? It's supposed to go for like big bucks, or
yeah? No, it's just everybody's speculating now. So it's selling for like between $5 and $10 on the auction sites.
I don't know what you're talking about, because here's a 5.5, signed by Stan Lee, the man himself, over top of the hologram, CGC Signature Series yellow label.
Nice.
Only $68,805.04 Canadian.
Did you say it was a 5.5?
For a 5.5.
5.5.
I was on the CGC boards recently, and I read something interesting, which is that sometimes if you see a ridiculous price like that, the seller has sold it privately, and they change the price because if they take it down, eBay will penalize them. So they make the price ridiculous so that nobody will buy it. And then when the listing's done, they don't relist it. So if you see something absolutely ridiculous like that, either the guy's crazy or he sold it already to somebody offline.
Because the next most expensive version is a 9.6 Signature Series signed by Peter David, Mark Bagley, Tom DeFalco, Randy Amberlin, Danny Fingeroth, Stan Lee, Aaron LaPresse, Andrew Peepoy, Rick Leonardi, and Dave Michelin.
Jeez. Why would...
And how much for that one?
This one is buy it now for $1,600 US.
$600?
Yeah, so about 2,237 Canadian pesos.
So that's just the price of the signatures.
That's a lot of signatures. Like, tell me he's cracked and slabbed and uncracked and re-slabbed that many times. Like, that's bonkers.
And it's came back with that high of a grade?
Yeah. Now, here's a 9.8 no signature, $688.04, or best offer. Everything else up there is all Signature Series. I mean, here's another guy, $412 buy it now. I don't know. It seems a bit ridiculous.
I was thinking about this the other day, and, you know, like, we've all been collecting comics for a while, okay? And it goes the same with, like, our music tastes and whatever. You know, like, when I think about comics that I like, you know, like Booster Gold, doesn't seem that old to me. But then I actually look, and I'm like, 1986 it came out.
Yeah.
Like, these are 40-year-old comics now. So, and I know Spider-Man's a few years newer than that one, but it's still from the 90s, which is more than 30 years old now. These comics are getting up there. And every year that goes by, they're going to become older, more valuable in air quotes. And, you know, we're still thinking like they're 5 years old because that's how old I was when I saw it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh, there's one here. I don't know. Is there some way to show you guys in Zoom? It's a 9.8. And the back cover has such a massive cover roll. Like, you know, where the pages kind of fan out.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like, it's massive how bad this book is inside this CGC case. And it scored a 9.8.
Does it have to be a manufacturing defect to get that?
No, like,
or do you slip them some money?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know how they got that. That's brutal. There's a $280, 9.8, CBCS 9.8.
How would you feel you buy that? Maybe you miss the last picture or something of the back page, and you buy that as a 9.8. You get it home, you look at it, and you're like, really? Really? Like, that almost sounds like somebody opened the slab and stuck in a 5.
It's like it's bad.
Oh, yeah.
Can you see that?
I see a corner. Oh, it's like a tear in the corner.
It's not really focusing, but you can see how...
Yeah, you can see the pages spanning out there.
Whereas on the bottom, that's the bottom. Like, you can literally see the staple. You can see the staple on the back page. That's how much it's rolled over.
I didn't even know that books that are that new did spine roll.
I know. Like, take a look at this. Yeah, there's you can see the staple. Yeah, I'd be upset if I... It just goes to show you that every 9.8 is not the same, right?
It goes to show you every 9.8 isn't a 9.8.
It's a 9.9.
Did you guys happen to see, it was a post yesterday, Amazing Spider-Man 129, first appearance Punisher, CGC 9.4, and the guy posted in the comic book forum, it's 17 bids, $670. But when you look close at it, it's the reprint.
No.
Yeah. It says RP after 9.4. I don't know, you probably can't see, but.
Yeah, for reprint.
That was the same thing happening with New Mutants 98, right? That reprint was going crazy because people didn't realize.
Which reprint is it? Is it the movie reprint or one of the action figure ones? Or
yeah, it's the one, I don't know. It's the one that has the big Punisher on the bottom.
Yeah, is that the Lionsgate?
That's the movie.
Yeah, it's the Lionsgate one. It's still rare, but I don't think it's worth $600. It was one that they handed out. It wasn't Cineplex like we've got here. I forget which one it was. But they were handing them out. Same as the Venom comics. I managed to sneak one of those away when they were $5 before they jumped up to the 50. But from, you know, when they did the Venom movie, I managed to get one of those. But
it's still hard to get in good shape because they were just kind of handed out, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was like, do you remember the Captain, or I guess you would remember, the Captain Canuck books that went to the Max Milk?
Yeah.
Like, I went into one time and I was like, hey man, do you got any Canuck books? And the guy's like, oh yeah, they're down here. And he pulls out, they look like a newspaper bundle, and they're literally like full, like all, they're all bent and twisted. I'm like, I'm good, thanks, have a great day. Oh, they were destroyed.
You didn't take them? For shame, Ellis, for shame.
Oh, I have like 9 of them, so it's not like I didn't get a few.
But you could have had a whole bundle.
Yeah, master bundle, man. They were rough.
Yeah,
like I don't know. They must have used them for a football or something because they were just folded.
But like, there's a coupon for a free slushie in them too, buddy. You could have gotten a dozen free slushies.
There's coupons in there. Did they expire?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. Well, does Max even exist anymore?
No.
A lot of them have become Red Circle or something.
Circle K in English-speaking places, yeah. Yeah, they all got bought out. I
So wait, now they're collector's items. Highly collectible. We're rich, Marty. We're rich.
I feel bad because I'm just kind of looking at some sold prices here, and I sold my raw copy for an insane amount of money that I probably an insanely low amount of money, I think.
For which book?
My original Amazing Spider-Man 129.
Oh yeah, well, I see one sold here. The Lionsgate, $279 Canadian.
Yeah,
it's a 9.6. But there's also one that's for sale. Buddy wants $1,100. It's a 9.8. So I don't know. $1,100 seems a little steep to me.
Again, it's rare, and it's probably rare to find it a 9.8 because of what they were. But still, like for $1,100, you can buy a decent copy of the original book.
Yeah,
you know, you don't need to have the reprint. You can buy the 1974 book. Like, there's no need to mess around. You just buy that one and be done. I mean, I lucked out and I bought mine in the 90s when it was still cheap. I paid like $15 for it. And, I mean, but those are the kind of deals that you can't get anymore, right? Like, my Hulk 181 was $45.
No, stop it. We've heard this story before.
I know, but like, but I guess my point on what I'm trying to say is like the books that people are spending $40 on now, like who knows the potential of where they're actually going to end up.
Yeah.
Like when I bought that one, for me, it was a reach. Like I was still in high school when I bought those. So I had to put them on layaway. Like I didn't have the coin to buy them. And so Ted held them for me and I was able to make payments on them until I could take them home. But I mean, is that what we're looking at? You know, because I'm pretty quick at smashing some books down. Like, that one's not worth $25. That one's not worth $50. What are you doing? That's stupid. But you know, were people saying that with Hulk 181 too? Because again, it was a cheap book. Like, It was $250 or something for a near mint copy when I bought that one. So it was.
You just gotta look at, you know, the trends in the marketplace. Like when I bought a whack of books in 2004, 2005, I ended up buying, it was every single DC Comics number one from the 70s. And I think I got about 98% of all the number ones in the 60s. And I didn't pay more than $500 a book. And that means Justice League number one, Green Lantern number one. I still have my Hawkman number one. I still have my Atom number one. Teen Titans number one was, I think, $15.
Yeah.
And that's just 2005. And now all of a sudden, you know, they've gone nuts. Like, how much was your Hulk 181 in 2005 versus now?
Yeah.
Just the first appearance of Ant-Man, the movie version of Ant-Man. What's his name again?
Yeah, Scott Lang.
Scott Lang.
I mean, that was a $200 book for a little while there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at just the famous story of me selling a Star Wars number one for $60 and being shit happy because it finally sold at $60. And 3 months later, it was going for $250, you know, because the new Star Wars movie was announced. So, gosh only knows. I mean, how many books has Chris Gilpin gone back into his dollar bins diving for because they got hot real quick?
That's the thing. And for weird reasons, like this is the one with the first appearance of Normie Osborn, you know, like the little kid. It's got like the big spider guy. Like it went from like a $1 book to like a $25 book overnight. Like as soon as the Red Goblin came out, like that book shot up, like just insane. So it was just like one day it's a $1 book. And now all of a sudden you can't get it for less than $15. Like, you know, I guess you could if it was like missing the cover or something, but like it's a collector's item, right? People want to have the first appearance of Normie, and it's just like, really? Like nobody gave two flying craps about this kid like 2 months before they came out with the Red Goblin. Like most of them probably hoped he died like Jason Todd.
At least this one isn't based on movie speculation, though.
No. That's true. That was actually a legitimate comic thing.
The only one I've gone back and pulled that I can remember is Batwoman from the 52 series stuff.
Well, you can put it back because she quit.
I know.
They might get a better Batwoman.
Yeah, watch that. They get a newer one and all of a sudden it just goes crazy nuts. And
yeah.
It's a $1 billion book. I don't know.
See, I actually have that Batwoman issue signed by Greg Rucka.
Oh, nice.
And I have it signed by Greg Rucka because I went to a convention with my brother in Toronto, one of the like smaller ones before conventions exploded. And Greg Rucka was just signing stuff. And we literally just went through a bin looking for things to get him to sign. I picked it up for $1, walked over with like 5 issues that I picked up for $1 from that series, got him to sign it. And then, yeah, just was going through my comics a couple of weeks ago. And I was like, sweet, got that issue signed. So
nice. I sold mine for like 50 cents.
Yeah, I've had a few of them.
I sold the whole run, and I was so glad to have sold it for like $25.
I think I gave it to my dad, actually. I said, here, take this one. It's the first appearance. That in your collection.
You probably sold it to Travis.
Okay. So what do we think of Stargirl?
I haven't watched it.
I saw the first episode. I didn't see the rest.
You haven't seen the second one yet?
No. Yeah. It's okay.
It's fun, yeah. She gets her costume in the second episode.
I haven't seen the episode, but I'm excited by what I've heard about it from Geoff Johns, about like the amount of little Easter eggs and cameos and things from the Justice Society that are in there.
Yeah, the first episode, the first 10 minutes is awesome. All these cameos, it's great. They're very quick.
Like Justice Society is an undervalued property. Mm-hmm. So
run and get number ones of All-Star Comics real quick.
Chris, you got any?
No.
Yeah, I actually ended up getting the few Justice League, All-Star Squad issues I was missing to finish the set off. And it was like the first appearance of Infinity Inc. and stuff like that. So they were a little bit more expensive than I thought they should have been for a series like that. And I was a little, I was like, what the hell is this?
But I think that kind of goes back to what Dan was saying earlier. Like those issues are old now, you know what I mean? So they're a bit more rare. Like you got guys that are our age and they give their collections either to kids or scrap them or throw them in the recycling bin or whatever they do with them. And, you know, and I don't mean the ones where you see them on Kijiji and they want like $68,000 for 2,200 comics. Or yeah. But it's, I guess the potential is there to make some money on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a box, two boxes of comics that my brother and I collected. I have to go back through that just to see if there's anything in there that's jumped up.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he liked to write his initials on the cover.
Oh.
If you didn't steal all his comics, maybe he wouldn't have, Chris.
There's that.
If it wasn't for me, they'd be thrown out in the garbage. My parents would have tossed them.
I went through all the comics that my brother and I collected, Uncanny X-Men, What If, and Spectacular Spider-Man in the 90s. And I was going through the Spectacular Spider-Mans going like, why couldn't we have collected Amazing Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Like, Spectacular Spider-Man has nothing with value in it.
Not even the story.
What's Cloak and Dagger?
Cloak and Dagger, I think, is like 64 or 66, one of the two. And I have one of those in extremely low grade that I got for $1.
Hmm.
But all of my issues are like in the 200s or, you know, they're all the garbage issues.
So I'm... while we're chatting about that, I was kind of looking around and I found the Cerebus the Aardvark number one Kickstarter. They're remastering the first issue.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Reprinting it and stuff like this. And I'm looking and it's like $10 US for the regular one. I was like, yeah, you know what? $10 US. I know, you know, it'd be like 456 Canadian pesos, but something like $10 support an effort, because I think what's his name, Sandeep from
Alfonso's,
yeah, Studio Comics Press. I think he has a lot to do with it. I know he did most of the scanning for the remastered phone books, so I figure, you know, whatever, let's get this. $22 US shipping for one comic.
Ouch. That's eBay pricing.
$22. This is a Canadian thing. Why am I paying $22 US for a Canadian comic book? Wow.
It's like they don't think it through. I don't.
$41 Canadian total for the standard lowest level. Get the red 24-page edition of Cerebus number one and a training card. $41.
That takes the fun.
I found a Christmas card in one of the collections I bought. It was Cerebus and it was signed by, what's his name? It was Dave Sims. So I was like, cool, that's cool. I'll keep that.
Throw that up on eBay.
Yeah.
Because I was involved in the Kickstarter when they started rescanning those, the old phone books, and remastering them, cleaning them up a little bit. And there was a whole whack of stuff. Like I think I got like 7 comics signed by Dave Sim and greeting cards and the actual physical trade paperback and all this other crap. It was like a lot of swag for what you got. Not one comic book for $22 Canadian shipping. What the world? Sassa, frassa, marassa, brassa. I mean, I'm still hitting go on it. I don't know why. Like an idiot.
You should just contact them. Sometimes if you make a donation without a reward or whatever for an X amount, you can get stuff, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
See if you can just walk up and pick it up.
Oh my gosh. I mean, you know these things are being printed by Alfonso.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, like if it's in Kitchener, why is it U.S. shipping?
I don't know. Anyways, you guys will be getting email alerts that Martin supported a Kickstarter.
It's just like those boxes. What were those boxes called?
The loot crate boxes.
Yeah, where you ordered them and they shipped them down to the U.S. and then shipped them to you from the U.S. or something?
Yeah, made in Whippy, shipped to the U.S., shipped from the U.S. to us.
Does not make sense.
No wonder they went bankrupt.
Yeah.
That doesn't even make any sense. Why would you do that?
Well, we'll see how it goes. Charlotte, North Carolina. Why does this say Charlotte, North Carolina is where this project is being backed from? That makes no sense.
No.
I'm just going to sit here and whine and complain. You guys carry on as I sulk. What else came out this week? Disaster Inc. from Aftershock. I haven't read this yet, but Aftershock, all of a sudden, all the number ones are $4.99.
Really?
Aftershock number one has been $4.99 for the last little bit. I mean, the cover's a thicker stock. I don't know if there's more pages or not, but I thought that was kind of a kick in the pants. I thought that was a little bit weird. Here's that weird, the Sumerian from Vault. No, from Ablaze Comics. What did I read from Ablaze recently? Vampire State Building.
What's a Vampire State Building?
You never saw that? What's the name of the writer, the artist from Walking Dead, Charlie Allard?
Adler, yeah.
Yeah, he drew it.
Oh.
And it's literally vampires. There's a master vampire that got sealed into a special vault in the Empire State Building, and they're renovating, and he gets released, and vampires take over the entire Empire State Building. And it's you know, the siege or the raid in a building with vampires. It was a hilarious series.
Is it as good as it sounds?
It sounds like fun.
No.
No.
It was good. It was fun, but it wasn't all that great. But so this is the Sumerian Queen of the Black Coast, uncensored knockoff of Conan. Knockoff's a strong word. They're just.
Did we talk about this? I remember us talking about some sort of uncensored Conan thing like so many months ago.
This must be it.
Like, yeah, does this, like, I don't know. Or maybe I'm just hallucinating. I'm not sure.
This must be it if we were talking about it. I mean, it's pretty graphic. People are you don't see that in Savage Sword of Conan. But, I mean, you saw lots of boobies and stuff in Savage Sword. It wasn't that bad.
It's almost good enough for Adam to pick up.
Oh, I found a page for Adam.
Speaking of nudity, can I segue into a terrible comic that I read?
Absolutely.
Which is Jonah Hex. Nothing wrong with Jonah Hex. However, Jonah Hex put out by Vertigo in the 90s.
Oh.
Terrible stuff.
Two Gun Mojo.
Okay, so that was the one before this. I read Riders of the Worm and Such. Okay, 5 issues. They just watched the movie Tremors and then made a Jonah Hex story about Tremors. And it was just the worst thing I've ever read. I finished it out of spite. I was like, I'm going to finish this whether it kills me or not. And it was horrible. Featured Jonah Hex's junk. First appearance of Jonah Hex's junk in Shadow.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we can slab that and, you know. But yeah, like it was so bad. Also, so Jonah Hex stumbles upon a ranch that's all about performance artists who are also cowboys. And so they're singing songs and they're doing dance routines, and then they're being attacked by giant worms. And like, can I have some of those drugs?
Yeah.
Like, I just don't know what these guys were reading. I'm just going to flip out of our chat for a second and look up their names, but it was horrible. truly yeah. Horrible. And 5 issues, could have been 2 issues.
Oh.
And yeah, it just was not a good. I still need to get, there's Two Gun Mojo. I have a few issues of that. And then there's another one by them. It's Joe R. Lansdale and Tim Truman that were the creative team on this one.
Oh, wow.
So feel free to collect, but don't bother reading.
Tim was a good artist. Like, he did a whole bunch of stuff. He did Hawk World. What else did he do? A bunch of other things. Like, he's been around.
But only in the 90s?
Was the art good at
it? No, the art was horrible. No. But it was like 90s to the nth degree.
No.
Yeah.
Like, he did Scout. He did all sorts of stuff. Grimjack, Turok. He was around. Is he gone? Is he passed? No. No, he's still around. He hasn't... The reinvention of Jonah Hex.
There was nothing in there. Also, I watched the Jonah Hex movie because I was bored late one night and put it on because it's only like 75 minutes long.
It's a weird movie, eh?
Gives him powers to talk to the dead that he doesn't have.
So which one did you read, Dan? Because apparently there's Jonah Hex Two Gun Mojo from 93.
Yeah.
It was followed up by Jonah Hex Riders of the Worm and Such in 1994. And then there's Jonah Hex Shadows West in 1998.
I'm amazed that they got 3 series because this one was so bad.
So you had the Riders of the Worm.
Riders of the Worm, yeah. Like there was like a couple like half worm, half human hillbillies who were making pig sex jokes constantly. Like it's
really,
yes, like it's bad, guys. It's bad. You know that I in general like don't have much bad to say about things in general. You know, there's a few things where if you push my buttons, I'll go off about it. But in general, I don't say bad things about comics, but this was bad.
Well, we'll put that in the skip pile and with a big asterisk that you took one for the team. Saved us from that.
Yeah.
I have it. I haven't read it. I picked it up at Comic-Con.
If you're feeling masochistic one day, feel free to sit down and read it and hate yourself afterwards for doing it. I mean, you can see Jonah's junk, though.
Yeah.
There's always that.
Nice. Yeah. Now, speaking of Jonah...
I didn't even realize there was a movie.
Yeah, it's got... what's his name? He played Thanos.
Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin.
Oh, and is...
And Megan Fox.
Megan Fox. Yeah. Yeah. No, it was...
The movie's not bad. It's not good.
Well, he was on Legends of Tomorrow as well for a few episodes.
Oh, was he?
That was okay.
Playing which character?
No, Jonah Hex.
Oh, Jonah Hex. I thought you were talking about Josh Brolin. I was going to say, he can't be... How many characters is he going to play?
No. It's a different actor.
There's a issue number one of the 2006 series from Jonah Hex on CGCSS signed by Josh Brolin that they won $1,000 for.
Really?
And you know what? I'll give you $100 for it.
Yeah.
But that'd be pretty cool.
That was a really good series, that 2006.
Yeah.
That was the first I bought, like, Jonah Hex comics. And I bought, like, the first, what do I got? First 23 issues. I've started to fill in a lot of the back issues because it went on. It was a 70-issue series.
Yeah, so, and I just got issue 66, CGCSS 9.8, signed by Jimmy Palmiotti.
Nice.
In order to regain the number one spot, yes, on the CGC registry boards. I spite bought that. I can't believe that I've realized for the first time in 4 years I was behind, and then went online and there was a brand new listing like the next day for this comic at $40.
Yeah.
Because I'm only going to buy CGCSS ones for this just because there's no point having a Jonah Hex comic slabbed of that series. It's not like there's any important issues.
That's funny. Well, gents, I think we're winding down here a little bit.
All right. Well, that's it for another episode of Hey Kids Comics. Join us again next week. And have a great evening.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?
Level check for Eugene Levy CFFF promo, take 3.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Good level?
Yep.
Bobby Bittman here. I always listen to Trent Radio 92.7. I love this guy, I really do.
You do one more of those?
Sure. What was wrong with that one?
Nothing. The level was a little high.
Okay. Hi, this is Bobby Bittman. When I'm in the Kawarthas, I listen to Trent Radio 92.7 FM.